What's good, Dallas? This is your girl, Brianna Javon. And if you've been thinking about starting a podcast or taking yours to the next level, I've got you covered. Book a podcast power session with What's Good Productions. In just 30 minutes, we'll tackle your ideas, crush those hurdles, and get your podcast ready to shine. Visit whatsgood-productions.com or click the link in the show notes. Now let's get ready for the show.
What's Good Podcast.
Are you ready?
Your number one source
to all the keys in the industry.
With Brianna Javon.
It's the What's Good Podcast.
What's good?
Hey, ladies and gents, this is your girl, Brianna Javon, and we are here with another episode of What's Good Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We have two beautiful guests with us. How are y'all doing?
Doing good.
Awesome. We have Candace and Ramon with us.
Yes.
The Tucks.
Yes.
All right. So this is a Wild Card Wednesday. We're going to get to know them. We're going to have a good time. And as you guys know, we do not have interviews. We have genuine conversations. So let's get into it. So how we usually start is, who is the guest? So y'all can do it individually, together, however y'all want to go. But who is Candace and who is Ramon?
That
he always put me up to going first. Well, this is the introductions. Well, we've been married 22 years. We met in college. And I would say very much the same, but very much different in who we are. Personality, our vibe is the same. He's probably the crazy one. I'm the one that's got a little sense.
Mm-hmm.
Country boy. Yeah. Country boy, city girl. And, you know, we just been doing this marriage ministry thing for about 8-9 years. Started out as a book.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we was promoting our book, it just, people was like, y'all need your own show. And that's how the Couples Lounge as a podcast came about. And so, yeah, we've been rocking and doing all the things that comes up under that.
Awesome. How about you, Ramon?
Yeah, the same. Pretty much, I ditto everything she said.
This is what trips me out. He acts like he is so shy.
First of all, I'm not acting shy. I'm just, you answered it well, babe.
So,
you know.
And if y'all really knew. But okay.
The educators, podcasters, authors, just run the way people looking to help and strengthen marriages.
Oh, yeah.
That's who we are.
Okay, I love it. So how did we get to where we are today? Because you mentioned it's been 20-odd years. 22 years.
Married.
Yeah, been together 28. Married.
29.
Well, we ain't 29 yet. That's October.
Okay.
been together 28 years, married 22. So we have literally grown up together.
Yeah. Okay, let's start from the beginning of what that growing up together stage look like.
Okay.
Who came at who? Give us the story. It's always two different stories, but let's see if we're on the same page.
No, I came at him, honestly. It was funny. We had as a freshman in college, he had a car. So, like, me and my homegirls was like, we was in the country at Jarvis. And so it's like 30 minutes to a store. We was like, this is what we're going to be using to get to the store. And he took us to the store one day. And that was a whole adventure that I was like, my mama would kill me if she knew I was in a car with somebody I did not know. And he's, showed a side of him that I don't know why I pursued. I guess I liked a little crazy. So
Don't be a blessing.
That day, he took us to his house because he lived in that city. So I was able to meet his mom. But just after that, I don't know what it was. It's something about him. And I just started, like, flirting with him. And he'd be like, go on, little girl. You can't handle this. Go on, little girl. Like, boy, I'm always touch on his cheeks.
Yes, indeed.
He'd be like, go on, go on. So that's how I started, like, just flirting like that. And then, I don't know.
I didn't like her, to be honest with you. She wasn't my cup of tea. I didn't like dark skin kind of. I was into the, as we called it back then, the yellow hammers.
Okay.
I was into the light skin.
You know what he needed.
Uh-huh.
True. So I, she was, you know, nobody that I looked at like that. Yeah, no, a girl, little girl, go. But through time, it was like, dang, I think I like her.
Uh-huh.
And boom, been rocking ever since.
I have to know, with you saying that, what was that pivotal moment like, dang, like, I'm definitely interested?
Because I started to have feelings. And she's the only girlfriend I've ever had.
Really?
I didn't want a girlfriend in high school. I did not want a girlfriend in high school for the simple fact. I looked at it as, okay, why am I going to settle down with one when you can have multiple?
So you was just having a good time.
Pretty much.
I'm glad he cleared that up, because I think some people think, oh, he was just this wholesome person.
Not at all. And then not immediately, but get locked down my freshman year. Like, how did this happen? That was guy for me to even want to be with her when that was not my MO at all. It wasn't one particular moment. It was just a combination of things. I knew she was a good girl. That was stood out. Mm-hmm. The fact that she, I don't know if I can say, but she wasn't a hoe.
Mm-hmm.
And that stood out. So that made me okay. But still, she ain't yellow. She ain't light skin.
We got together early in our freshman year, like, yeah. We was in October. Got there in August as freshman.
Yeah, October, we were rocking and rolling.
Now, after he finally bit the bug, right? Like, I'm interested. Did you give him some time to chase, or did you play hard to get? Like, I've been wanting you for the past 2-3 months, and now you want to jump on board?
I did something that I never have ever done in my life. So I'm like, oh, yeah, you the one. You going to be with me.
Love, like, did you pray about this, or you just knew?
No, I knew the step that I had taken was out of the norm for me. And so at that, I mean, it was just like, oh, yeah, we finna be together, we ain't gonna be together. And then it was just like, we was rocking ever since. And we was like friends. Like, this was just like my best friend. Like,
nice. We
always say, like, we didn't have no issues until he pledged. Then he lost his mind. But, like, this was my dude, like, my best friend. We was together all the time our freshman year. Like, and I know that's what, like, has sustained us, even through our marriage, when we've had the valley moments. Our friendship was solid and joy was soaked.
I love that. Okay, so you're going to be speaking to me directly.
Okay.
I'm going to ask for the girlies out there that are scared to take that step.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, women, we kind of stand to the side to see who's going to shoot their shot to us. But you did your shooting. So what made you be confident? Because I am nervous. Because I'm scared I'm going to get turned down. There's all type of things that go through your head. Mm-hmm. But you were very confident. You was like, yeah, I want you.
And that's crazy. Because that was not me. I'm telling you. That was not me. He was like, even I had, like, in high school, I had a boyfriend I met freshman year. Mm-hmm. And he was my boyfriend all the way till I went to college. So me talking to dudes and being brave like that, that was not my MO.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it had to been just something about him that I was just flirting with him. I'm telling you, all of this has to be God, because it wasn't my MO, him coming to, you know, deciding on having a girlfriend wasn't his MO. Mm-hmm. So I would say for those women that are out there who, if you see a dude that you are interested in, I don't see anything wrong with starting a conversation.
Mm.
I wouldn't necessarily ask him to be my dude, you know, but I can spark a conversation with you. I can let you know by my actions that I think you a vibe. We can do something right here. So let's have a conversation.
Ladies, shoot your shot. Stop being a punk. Stop being scary. Y'all outnumber us dramatically, women to men. So if you see someone you're interested in, why would you not introduce yourself and say hello? Why would you not? It's too many single women. And they're possibly single because they're scared to open their mouth.
This is true.
Holla at your dude. And if he says no or shows that he's not interested, okay, cool. He wasn't the one.
Right.
At least he's at this particular moment, man. Why are you being scared at this point?
Mm-hmm.
You're a grown woman. Do not be afraid to introduce yourself. I'm not saying go throw your panties at him, but introducing yourself, saying hello. Boom. And the man will take it from there. All you need is to make the introduction. And if he's interested, he will keep going. And next thing you know, boom. Full-on conversation. He asks you out. Boom. There you go. And all you did was make the introduction. It is pointless to be afraid to approach a man nowadays. It's 2024.
True.
Open your mouth. Go for what you want.
I mean, he just chewed me up and spit it out. I appreciate that. Yeah. So I want to know, in the midst of now we're growing together, we're together, we're building this relationship, what do those conversations look like as far as future goals? Are we going to get married? Are we not going to get married? Because I know that's like really popular now. We're going to be life partners.
Mm-hmm.
So what did that look like for you as a foundation and creating that foundation?
I don't think we really had, not early on, because we was college freshmen.
Right.
So thinking that far ahead at that particular time, no, we're trying to get past the next semester. We're trying to pass these classes. We're trying to make it, we're trying to get some food for the night. When you're in college, money is not something you have plenty of. So eating well at night was big. So no, far as the future, especially early on, I don't remember us having
Those conversations probably didn't. We ended up having a daughter
somewhere.
I got pregnant my sophomore year. Mm-hmm. And so I would say by the time our junior year,
mm-hmm.
yeah. when she came, I'm sure that's when the conversation started. Like, marriage, we can see ourselves here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I want three kids and telling our hopes and our dreams. And we both wanted to be educators. So just talking about those things. Like when my son and Jake, even with being a counselor in schools, our conversations was light. Mm-hmm. Like,
just having fun.
Yes. Yeah. And even when we were talking about marriage and stuff, it was still light. It was still fun. Yeah. It was like we are dreaming about it. So it wasn't tense conversations like, when you gonna pop the question? And no, once I graduated, I did have a time, but he didn't know I had a time. Because
right.
at that point, I'm like, okay, if he don't propose by this time, it's going to be time for me to move on.
Really?
And I'm going to go on.
And I'm glad I didn't know that.
Yeah.
If I'd have known that, that would have pushed me away.
Really? The pressure?
Yeah, you're not telling me I'm feeling. If I would have thought in my mind, oh, you telling me I need to propose? Oh, well, then damn it, I ain't. Oh, wait, who you? No. At that point, I would have thought that. I really would. At 20, 21 years old? No, no, we got married at 24, 25.
Mm.
So 22, 23. No, you're not telling me I need to propose to you.
Mm.
No, you're not going to tell me that. Not at 22, 23, no.
So it just organically happened between y'all.
Yeah. It me proposing, which is crazy, I was hanging out with another girl.
Mm-hmm. Well, we was together, but I was already at the house.
Yeah, I'd
already
graduated. And I'm in school.
Still in school.
Okay.
I'm still in school, and I'm kicking it with another girl, and I'm with her, and I'm like,
this ain't
the hell am I doing?
Uh-huh.
And I can't lose Candace, and this is, and she was pretty as hell, but I'm like, ugh, what am I doing? And I got up and left. I didn't even tell the girl I'm leaving. I think I said I'm going to the gas station. I'm going to go get something to drink. And I'm out. She never see me again ever in life. She probably, if she ever sees this, that at MF go. Yeah, I did that. I sure did. It just hit me. This is the one. Because I kept thinking, what if I lose her for messing with this? Like, no, I would be devastated. So I'm like, yep, this is the one. So shortly after that, I called her dad. I'm like, look, I'm not in Fort Worth, so I can't do this in person, but I would like your blessing and proposing to your daughter. And he gave me the blessing. And shortly after that, boom, I proposed.
So did you, wait a minute. Now I'm just trying to think of the timeline. Was it like shortly after that incident?
Yes, shortly after that, I called his dad.
Well, did you know this story?
Yeah, because we were doing interviews.
Okay.
I wasn't going to tell her how.
No, I definitely did not.
But now, I mean,
you're
talking about 27, 28 years ago.
Right.
So, so shortly after that, I called her dad. Then I would have liked to do it in person, but from where we was at, it's like about 1 hour and 45 minutes. So I wasn't for the drive there just to get his blessing. But I did call and speak to him directly and ask his blessing too. to Mary's baby girl.
Nice. So were y'all at this point in each other's family? Everybody's
intertwined? Yeah. Our family, we jailed with each other's family quickly. Because we both come from a nice-sized family that was extremely family-oriented, with the cousins and aunties and uncles were always together on both sides. Mm-hmm. You go to my hometown, I'm with my cousins. But if I come to Fort Worth, she's with her cousins, and the cousins are always together, and the aunties and the uncles are always together.
Never so, had families.
Yeah, so it easily, she jailed, especially with my guy cousins, and her cousins, I jailed with like that. As far as I'm concerned, her cousins are my cousins, especially her guy cousins. Them my kinfolk. Okay. Matter of fact, when I see them, I call them kinfolk. Like, hey, what's up, kinfolk? Like, we really are cousins.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, y'all almost 30 years.
Oh, yeah. No question. Yeah. I view her family as my family. No question.
Okay, so let's peel some layers real quick.
Okay.
Within the marriage, even boyfriend, girlfriend, the whole stage, right? Mm-hmm. Has there ever been a time where you questioned each other, but you came to each other about like, hey, I'm not happy. Hey, I'm not with this situation, or I feel like you need to do better. Just having those hard conversations. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What would be one example you could share?
I would share when we was considering divorce, and that was like 10 years in. We never said the word divorce to each other, but the thickness in the house and the distance between us, it was felt. We just never said it to each other. And then it was just like, well, I'll never forget, we was having a argument in our kitchen. And my youngest daughter was just like, she just had her hands on my leg and she was just looking up at me like, please, like, just stop. And then I just met her eyes and I was like, oh, wait a minute. Oh. And then that's when I told him, I'm like, okay, we're going to either have to go to camp. We got to do something because this is affecting our kids.
Yeah.
And I was like, we have to go if we want to save this marriage.
Right.
And then I was like, at least it'll break the pattern that we are in right now. Because at that point, we had a situation with infidelity. We had finances was a situation. It was, we wasn't talking to each other. We walking past each other, being petty, like, don't touch me. I ain't going to touch you. Silent treatments.
Tit for tat.
It was getting bad.
Yeah, it was.
And so it was like, it was some mistrust, like, for us in the financial situation. Even how I showed up with him wasn't loving. Mm-hmm. And we had got out of God's alignment. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I was operating like we was out of alignment. Like, oh, since I'm running the house, or I'm doing this, or I'm at. And then that caused him like, oh, I can't trust you when we're in a situation like this. And so that, all of that is what pushed us. I wish we would have went and sooner. Did the counseling sooner. But, you know, it is what it is. We ended up waiting 10 years. We went to about a few sessions, but she wasn't a match for us.
Mm-hmm.
She was a referral to us, and she just didn't match. Our personalities was too big for her. And so I'll never forget, we had a conversation, I think, on the back of your truck.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, we're going to have to, we'll give it all we got.
Yeah.
We're
going to end it. We're going to go down swinging.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking the same, like, nah, what the hell have I done? I don't want her. I loved her.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want this. What we got right now is, I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking divorce, but never said it to her. So when she brought it up, it was like, okay, let's try it. Because I knew I didn't want to lose her. But something had to give, or we wasn't going to stay married. So when she mentioned counseling, I was like, okay. Because in my mind, I was thinking the same. Like, if this is going to end, let's try every avenue we can to fix it. And if it don't, I can walk away saying, we tried.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't work. And luckily, we both had the same mindset. So with the counseling, and after we stopped, we both had the mindset of, okay, I need to change. So let me make the changes that I need to make. And she said the same. And then we made it work, and boom, here we are. What, 17 years later? Not 12 years later. Yeah, 12 years later from that day.
I think that that's what happens with a lot of couples. We don't really want a divorce, but we want to divorce the experience that we are having. We want a different experience. And some people don't know how to stop and divorce the experience. And you think you got to end the relationship with this person.
Yeah.
And that's not always the case.
Okay, so you had mentioned something that had me self-reflecting over here. When there's a conversation with your partner, my particular situation, he told me, he said, you're a loving person, but you don't know how to love me. And that hit me so hard because I'm like, I feel like I'm that nurturing person. He's like, you're all those things, but you're not showing up for me.
Yeah.
The way that you're showing up for others.
Right.
And he started sending me a lot of stuff on Instagram about, you know, women showing up for men and this, this, and that. And he was like, I want you to understand, I'm not taking anything away from you as a person.
Yeah.
Right.
And so when y'all were saying individually, okay, these are different things that I have to get under control for us to work. I don't know. I just feel like criticism, I need to get over that. It's not like an attack.
Right.
It's more so if we're going to make this work, this is what we have to do to get us to that next level.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What did you guys do as far as like having those conversations, knowing that these are things that I have to work on, to not take it so personally?
I took it personally. I can't come on here and start lying. I took it personal. And in my opinion, you should take it personal.
Okay.
And it's okay. Because it is personal. He is speaking to you. But that's a good thing. He's expressing what he needs. Okay. He's giving you the answers to the test. It's up to you. Do you want to apply the answers that he's giving you? So if he's telling you you're not loving me in a way that's pleasing to me, that's cool. Be accepting of that. I have zero issues with her telling me the things that I'm doing wrong that can please her. What?
Girl.
Yeah, it is. It is. At the time, no. Hell yeah, I was mad. Hell, you talking about it? But now that I look back, she was actually telling the truth. Because sometimes you can love a person in a way that you think they want to receive it, but it's not their love life. If they're not a gift type person, you buying them and getting them all this and that, that's not going to work for him.
Right.
So loving a person in a way they will receive it is best. So learn their love language. What do they do? What do they like? What's pleasing to them? Fuck, to me, men are simple.
Are y'all?
Yes, we are extremely simple. Sometimes y'all can just be stubborn and don't want to love us in a way, or lazy and get comfortable to where it's difficult. But it's really simple to love a man and to please a man. You feed us, you can cook or get us, sex us down, you can't leave that out, and give us respect. Once the respect is gone, I don't think you love me. You may love me, but if I don't feel respected, that's a problem. You'll lose a man real quickly just by because he thinks he's being disrespected.
I can believe that.
Yeah. Respect is love to us. Respect is love to us.
And I think in order to get, like you said, when somebody's telling you the things that you need to work for them.
Right? Yeah.
It takes a mindset shift to take it personal. And I would say we did take it as a personal attack. But it's like, as long as you sit in that space, it's hard to hear what the other person is really trying to say. And so it took growth. It took self-reflection.
Yeah.
It took healing. To get to a place where, okay, I can hear you. And even if it's like this one thing, like he used to want me to do. And I'm like, it just didn't seem that big of a deal to me. And I'm just like, and he began fixing you some rice for your lunch. And I was just like, he gets so mad about this. And it's not that big to me. I kept saying, it's not that big of a deal to get that mad. But I had to start, like, I had to go deeper. I'm like, this has to be deeper than the doingness behind this. And so once I took it deeper to what this was possibly saying to him when I don't do it, that supported me in like, oh, like, okay.
Because in the grand scheme of things, it's not that big of a deal to fix your man something for lunch. I'm like, that's not that big of a deal. Whatever we cook, put it in a plate, cover it with foil, baby, your lunch is fixed. But when she didn't do it, it was like.
Was this already like a routine and then she stopped?
No, just I expressed, babe, this is what I want. This is what I need. I need you to make sure I got something to eat for lunch. Just, and I thought it was simple as when you're putting the food up, again, put it in a paper plate, cover it up with foil, put it in a little Walmart, say, baby, your lunch is fixed. And it made my day easier and smoother for me because I had lunch fixed. Cause it was too many times when the hustle and bustle of getting ready and getting the kids right now. Damn, I ain't got nothing to eat. And I was spending too much money on food for lunch. I'm like, damn, baby, just fix, you know, when you fix the man something to eat? And I, to me, it was simple. But when she didn't do it, I thought it was lack of disrespect. It was disrespect. Like, she didn't care, basically. Like,
and
man,
that's what I had. That, once I got to the deeper side of it, that's what I figured out. I'm like, oh, he's taking it as
disrespectful.
I don't care. I don't care about him or I won't put this effort into it. And so it was like, okay, set alarm, do all, because I'm like, and I'm, we'll forget in a heartbeat. So I will say that when it's just when somebody expresses it to you, you hear it and you can do it if you can do it. But two, it's also, I think couples need to realize that this is how I love. And I might not can love you how you want to be loved. And that's all right. And this ain't the union. This is not the forever union. And sometimes you got to be okay with that and not hold no grudges and be all right. Okay, we're going to just move forward. Thank you for the memories. Thank you for the lessons, all the things. But we're going to just go on. But I think it's hearing their heart, hearing their heart. And if it comes up and it feels like this feel attack-ish, then we sit with it. And why does that feel attack-ish to me? What does this remind me of? And then that's our own work that we got to do. If that person isn't coming with a rah-rah energy, now why do I feel personal attack right here? And then we got to go within.
That was good. Y'all talking to me. All right. So now we're going to talk about where we are today as far as ministry. We have a book. We have shows. We have all these amazing things. So how did we get to us wanting to get couples therapy, thinking about divorce, all these things, to now be an example for other couples?
Because it's something that we wish somebody would have told us. That's literally the name of our book, Marriage. Somebody should have told us. And we wanted to support each people after. And now I'm going to say, when we went to counseling, it wasn't an immediate turnaround. It was like we had to break patterns that we have created. So that whole, when you mad, you silent treatment. No, you can't be silent treatment, right? Start talking. You know, like literally correcting patterns. And the book started out like just downloads. People were giving me to write a book. And I was like, well, let me try to write it with my line sisters. That didn't work. And then it wasn't coming for me. And I'm like, well, baby, you wanna write this book with me? No.
Hell no.
He said no three times. I'm like, but it can help somebody else. And he eventually said yes. And so that's how we got on the path of the ministry. Actually, the couples lounge started in our house about, oh man, it was probably right when Kyle was born. So we probably been married about 3-4 years. At that point, I'm like, we can't do this by ourselves. Yeah. Like, and we were inviting couples to our home. And we put it on the door. This is the couple's lounge. And so once we started the podcast, and like that was literally people saying, y'all need to have your own show. We said, okay, well, let's find out the information. We ended up walking out of the studio with the podcast, and we were just like, we'll name it the couple's lounge. And so it was just a place where people can come and hear from a real couple that's transparent.
Yeah.
in order to try to save marriages. And that was all it was supposed to be. And then a former student of mine reached out and was like, well, would y'all be willing to counsel us? And I was a counselor at the time. So I'm like, just counsel? You know, counsel him. So a lot of our counseling came by just people reaching out. We didn't start getting real intentional about that until I think I went through my life coaching program. And then we started getting, well, we were intentional about, okay, this is what we do. So it was literally one of those things that the seed was planted, God gave the idea, and then he just blew on it. And it just started, all kind of stuff just started happening. Yeah. So that's how it came about.
Did you have anything to add?
Yeah, the main reason why I didn't want to write the book, I didn't want to air out our laundry.
Right.
And I knew 90% of the dirty laundry was because of me. So, hell no, nah, I ain't want to put that, we ain't doing that. But as most men, husbands will attest to this, our wife is a soft spot for us. And if they really want something, we going to try to make it happen. If you could please your wife, you're going to do everything you can to please your wife. So I'm glad I gave in, but I did not want to do it at first. I did not want to write a book. The couples marriage and all that. At first, I didn't have a problem with that. Meeting with other couples, because it started off with just getting four or five couples in the house. We had some wine, we had some fruit, and we were just dialogue about different topics. And then you start to say, oh, wow, it ain't just us. We're not the only one dealing with this, this, this. So how did y'all handle? And then, oh, okay. So it was beautiful doing it that way. And as she said, it just blossomed for me.
So I want to talk about the importance of community, because it sounds like you guys legit built community in your living room.
Mm-hmm.
So how important is that to you to have married couples or even people that pour into you as a couple?
Yeah, it's extremely important, especially just to have someone that you can open up to. Because when you're married, a lot of times you suffer in silence. You'll go through hell in a marriage and we don't say nothing. I mean, we literally won't say nothing. And I don't know if it's our ego, fear of judgment, or maybe a combination of both. But to see a happily married couple and to dialogue and see what are they using, what techniques or what are they doing to sustain this, is extremely important. Don't be afraid to ask someone that's happily married. But you got to know whom to go to.
Sure.
Because people will air out your dirty laundry. And I was very careful of when I spoke to my parents, because I didn't want to say too much, because I didn't want them to judge her.
Yeah.
Because I am their son.
Mm-hmm.
And at times, hell, I question that at times. I think they love her more than they love me. Like, damn, I'm your son. Like, I know you love her, but God damn. So you have to be careful when going to parents. I will say that when you're speaking to your parent, be careful, because if the daughter's telling their mom and dad all the things that it's understandable if they looked at me a certain way. At a certain point in our marriage, it would have been totally understandable if they looked at me side eye like, I don't like this Negro anymore. So be careful. But seeking counsel for couples that have been married, happily married. Let me say that, because you could be married 30, 40 years and living in hell the whole time.
True.
I would say it's definitely important. I have, like you said, I ain't never too much been through it though, in this by myself. Like, I'm going to reach out for my sanity. Because if I didn't have somebody to reach out to when we was going through what we was going through, just, even if it's just friends, just for me to vent, yeah, I don't know how I would have been able to. Not how my mind worked. Because I am the one that I keep thinking about stuff over and over. And if I couldn't talk to him about what I'm feeling because of how he gonna respond or he not gonna hear, I probably literally would. I don't know how I would have been. So I would say community is vital. Having somebody that you can trust to just ask questions. And I know since I've been through I have some sisters that are ISO coaches and counselors. And so when we have situations, even now, I will call them like, look, okay, so this is the situation. And they will process me. They will help me work through it just like they are my counselors.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I get it. So it's what hold me accountable. Because I've kind of been like, look, this is what he is doing. Da-da-da-da. And I'm trying to get him to see. And she'll be like, what? I'll never forget. She was just like, but you used to be a certain type of way too. So you got to give him some grace. He's got to change just like you had to change. And I'm like, yeah, got it. So having somebody to talk to that you trust with your relationship is vital. It's vital.
Beautiful. Yeah. Okay, one last question before we wrap up.
Okay.
What is one thing you could tell somebody that's either single, mm-hmm. married, relationship, whatever the case may be, just one piece of advice to give them right now?
Everything starts with you.
Mm.
Everything starts with you. No matter whatever the situation is, if you want to change your marriage, whatever it is that you want to see in it, start being it first. If they're doing something, you keep finding yourself triggered, check yourself first, go in first. Once you get clear on what it's about for you, then if you still need to talk to your significant other, then you go and let them know, okay, how you handled me or that situation, it made me feel like this. I now know why I felt like this, but I'm bringing it to you also because I don't want him to be the one that's causing that. But I'm going to work through it. Everything starts with us. And I think this will be my final one for anybody, is that when you are in an intimate relationship, it is going to bring up childhood wounds. It's going to bring it to the surface. But be glad, because that is the power of intimate relationships. That's the power of marriage, is that it brings our stuff to the surface so we can look at it, so we can heal it, so we can become more like God, more like Christ in ourselves, a better version of ourselves. So when we are triggered or whatever the case may be, you making me instead of okay, God, what is it? That's why I say everything starts with us. What is it that you're trying to show me about me? Because it's a trigger here for a reason. And it was here more than likely before they got there.
Right.
And that's what marriage does. But I think so many times we just think, like, once we move out of that honeymoon phase, that it's them and they doing this to me. Why did it? But if I'm getting triggered, that is my stuff. And so be willing to look at self.
I love that.
No kidding. You said so. I would say this. When emotions are high, intellect a lot of times is low. When your emotions are high, your intellect and your thinking ability is low. Be slow to speak and react. Also, be able to self-reflect and be honest with yourself. When you start lying to yourself, you're in a world of trouble. Any relationship you have is going to suffer. Hell, you lying to your damn self. How you going to fix it with, so be able to self-reflect and analyze you before you point the finger and it's her fault, it's his fault. What am I doing that's causing him or her to show up, speak, act in this way? So I would say it is extremely important to be able to self-reflect. Self-reflection has helped me from crashing now and helped me from ending this relationship at times. Well, maybe not ending, but causing more harm. Being able to, at nighttime, I sit out, I'm in a little drink, got my cigar, and I'm just smoking my cigar, and just, damn, I was tripping. And maybe I didn't have to say it that way. But I was honest with myself. I was always honest with myself. And I just had to look myself in the mirror. Dude, you tripping. You know, so being able to self-reflect and almost similar to what you're saying, look at you. Look at you first. Start with you first. Analyze and fix you first and then move.
You're not going to be able to do marriage without God. That's another thing.
No.
You're not going to be able to do it without God. No. It's one of those things that in our flesh, we won't be able to do it.
And not only marriage, single. If you're single, if you're not asking him to guide your steps, you're in a world of trouble. Because God may put you in a a season with this person. You come in my life for a season. As a guy, I meet you. He may have put me in your life for a particular season. Mm-hmm. But you're trying to make me permanent. You're trying to make me your husband and look at me as your husband. But God was like, no, I want him to show you this, this, this. And now you're trying to make it a permanent situation and you wonder why our hell is breaking loose. Mm-hmm. That's why God has to direct single people
steps that's for you.
And married people steps. Because when it's too many crazy people out here that put on great fronts. You'll meet a representative. He's the perfect gentleman. Mm-hmm. I'm the perfect guy. Mm-hmm. In reality, I'm just looking to smash a few times.
Right.
And then I'm really going on by my business. Mm-hmm. But if God is not leading, you're not tapping into that. So because God gave y'all intuition. Well, I believe he gave us all, but y'all, a woman's intuition is real, extremely real if you can tap into it.
True.
If you can tap into it, God will help direct your path. So God is important, single or married. But he's number one, first and foremost.
True. I love it. I love how that advice is given. And one is like, oh, yeah, I like that. The other one's like, oh, yeah, you're sexy. I'm like, okay, it's the love. Because even after, 28 years, there is so much love right here. And it is truly motivating. I just want to say thank y'all so much.
Thank you
for having me.
Yes. For sure. Tell everybody where they can get in contact with you, social media, the books, therapy sessions, whatever is available, let them know.
I'll start us off.
Yay!
No, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Matter of fact, on YouTube, there's where all our shows are, The Couples Lounge. And we'll air every Saturdays from 9 to 10. We have a marriage retreat that's coming up, our second marriage retreat coming up. I'm going to let my baby speak on the marriage retreat. But Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, we have a book called Somebody Should Have Told Me, Marriage, Do You Really Know What It's About? And that's on lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. Nothing but $9.99, I believe, $10. So it's an easy read, great book to read for those who are married, thinking about getting married. That's where you can find us. Now, baby, let them know about the marriage.
Well, I would say everything is on our website.
As well.
www.thecouplesounge.com. And the marriage retreat is in Granbury, Texas.
Yes.
And it's a healing. And that's something that I was going to talk to you about, like, I really want couples that need to heal, that is on the verge of divorce. Like, we need somebody to interrupt what we have going on. And so it's a whole experience. It's a vibe. We go, we have fun, but it's healing work. And it's a lot of looking within.
Absolutely.
Because if once we become better, we become better. So.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, I'm going to say thank y'all one more time.
No,
I can't say how many thank yous. I mean, I'm just like, this has just been amazing. Like, I gotta talk to myself. Lord knows. But yes, thank you guys again.
No thank problem. You, Sam.
And if you guys are listening to this morning, noon, evening, or night, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of What's Good Podcast. And we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of What's Good Podcast with your girl, Brianna Siobhan. If you found today's discussion inspiring, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your preferred podcast platform. Explore additional resources on our website at whatsgood-productions.com and find our social media links listed in the show notes. Stay tuned for more captivating stories ahead. Until next time, stay blessed and keep uplifting your community.